Yay. I'm so happy for that, Twin. Come on. Wow. Yeah, squeeze in. It's all yours. I'm just going to show you this verse in the Bible, because what Sydney's about to talk about tonight, I think, is one of the most important things a Christian can have. When God was transferring leadership from Moses to Joshua, Moses had died, Joshua is now in charge. Here's what God says to him. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Like, this is a heavy verse. If you want to take the promised land that God has made available to you, that God has promised you, that no one else, all the other people, like, this is Joshua, and it was only him and Caleb that could see the fruit when everybody else can see giants. Everybody else is looking at the enemy, and they're like, "Hello, don't you see the fruit of this land? Let's just go take the land, like God said." And everyone else dies out, and God lets Joshua and Caleb be alive, and gives all leadership to Joshua. And then he tells them this: "I'm giving you this land. It's already yours. You're going to go take it. You're going to go have it. It already belongs to you. You got this. Now meditate on my word day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." This, what Sydney's about to talk about, she's going to talk about meditating on Scripture, encountering God through the Bible. She's going to talk about how to be a Joshua that actually takes the promised land. So what she's going to release, please, I told you, I've listened to this message. I preach this message. I've written curriculums about this message. I have whole curriculums that teach kids what she's about to teach you, because this message has impacted me. It's impacted her. It's just, this is one of the most important, simple, beautiful, awesome things you could have. This is Promised Land. This is how to take the Promised Land 101, what she's about to give you. So I want you to really be ready. Like, this is so practical and so easy and so simple. And so fast. Like, I've had times, I'm just going to tell you one story. I've had times where I was meditating on Scripture. I do this every day. I still do this every single day. I'm meditating on Scripture the way she's about to teach you. And I heard a zipper unzip over my head. And all of a sudden, I couldn't stop the ideas and the thoughts from God. I took 14 pages of notes. I was like scribbling. I couldn't even read them. I was writing so fast, trying to keep up with the thoughts of God coming into my head. It was like God just opened up my head, opened up heaven, and he was flooding into my head. And I will never be the same. It's what made me who I am when it comes to kids, when it comes to families. That one moment made me who I am. I remember exactly what was deposited. I can't read it on the paper, but I remember it. And she's about to release this to you. So here's what I want you to do. Really, like, just be ready to receive. Like, this is what she's about to give you is very important. It's so important. So take notes if you need to take notes. But this, what she's going to give you is how to take promised lands. God's promised you a lot of stuff, and this is how you just go get it. Okay? So, Lord, we pray for everyone here that we would be wide open to receive, that you would ignite something. You would ignite a fresh love for the Word of God, that you would ignite a fresh passion for the Bible, that you would ignite that when we open the Bible, when we open the Word, we go into your world. That every time we open your Word, we open your world, and it comes into our world, into our lives for everyone around us. God, we just open up our hearts to receive from Sydney and what she's going to bring to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Welcome. I appreciate that.
Welcome. Blow it up.
Okay, before I start, Jeff was the last testimony?
Jeff, twin?
Yes. Jeff. Jeff, did your pinky ever get healed? No? Okay, so last night in service, a lot of times it's really annoying, but it's great, whatever. I started, I normally will feel a physical pain and then call it out and people get healed. And so, is it hurting now? Yeah. Okay, great. Everyone stretch out your hands. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for his testimony, and I thank you for the testimony of healing, that it's proof and it's a physical representation of your love. And so we just declare right now, pinky and forearm be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that by your son's stripes, Jeff is healed, that there's nothing greater than you, there's nothing stronger than you. And so, Father, I just ask right now that you would, just as a testimony, touch his finger right now. Come and touch it, Jesus. Release your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. How are we feeling, bro? Be honest. Don't lie to me. Okay, second round. God, I thank you so much that you started, Lord, and you are faithful to complete what you do in every season, in every situation, in every healing, in every salvation. And so, God, I ask right now a complete healing right now. Every nerve ending, every issue, God, I ask that you to release your healing, Jesus. Complete healing right now to Jess Pinky. Everything, you must come align with the word of the Lord, which is complete, which is perfect in every moment, in every second. God, release that right now. Release that healing, Jesus. God, I thank you that you know Jeff. You know him and you love him. Lord, this is your will. You want to heal him tonight. In Jesus' name. Jeff, how we doing? Okay. All right, round three, real quick. Jesus. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Jeff, I feel like the Lord's healing you actually in a process to show you the process of just a representation of the process that he's been taking you on and the journey he's been taking you on and revealing his love to you. And how it's been slow, but it's been intense, and it's sweet, and it's kind. So Jesus, come. God, the one true living God, come and heal him right now. Complete what you started. Come and complete what you started, Lord. Just release it. Let it be a testimony, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Update. Yeah, Jeff's somewhere there. Okay, wait, so while he's getting in touch, I just had one more, and it's mainly selfishly because I'm feeling it and I'm so over it. So has anyone had, I think specifically it's a woman, just a chain in like your chest, like on the right side? And it's, I think it's a little bit related to anxiety when you get kind of anxious and there's just a pressure. Does anyone feel that in this room? Is that for here? Right here? Okay. All right, we got two. Do you feel it right now? Okay, I could be wrong. That's totally fine. I'm human. Okay, sweet. Okay, so can some gather around her? And then Pastor Chris, you too? Okay, great. Awesome. Yay. Now you get to get healed. All right, so stretch out your hands. Here we go. God, I thank you once again that you are the God of healing, that you are the God that knows these bodies, that you created them, Jesus. You know their inner workings. You know them physically. You know their heart. God, you know everything about them, and I ask right now that you would come with your healing. Lord, that just intense, obnoxious pain, that it would be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, all that stress and just the swelling and the tenderness, Lord, would be gone, that you'd release your healing right now, Jesus. God, release it right now. Even as you've just done it for Jeff as a testimony of your love and kindness, I ask that you'd release that. Swelling be gone in the name of Jesus. Bruising be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the blood flow go back to normal right now. Lord, even just the nerves, God, release healing to the nerves. Jesus, come. Let that heavy just pain be lifted right now. Jesus, release it. Okay, how are we doing? Better? About the same? Better? Okay, Chris?
I'm at stress right now, so
I love it. Well, that's a testimony in of itself. You have peace. Amen. Okay, we're getting better? Okay, let's pray a second time real quick. Lord, amen. God, I just ask right now that you'd release your healing. Lord, complete what you've started. God, I thank you so much. Again, just it's a testimony of your love to your daughter right now. Jesus, come draw near to her. Lord, that this would just encourage her, even in her own walk, as she's going to see healings in her own life. Lord, and that you're going to use her, Jesus, like she's getting healed tonight. God, release it. Even just increase the dreams in the night, Lord. Lord, that you would meet her in the night. I really feel like there's dreams coming to you in the night that he wants to speak to you in the night. Dreams and visions. God, show up at the end of her bed. Just hang out and have coffee with her. Lord, do it. Lord, do it. You're so kind. Thank you for taking care of your creation, for caring about her, for loving her. Lord, release that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. Oh, other thing I want to do. I just want to say, I'm going to cry. It is a complete honor to be here. I'm just a little 22-year-old. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And just to be able to be here and to be accepted, just as like the Bethel students are here, IHOPU comes, and just for like y'all just to open your door and to receive us, like, thank you. Thank you for trusting us and letting us make mistakes and then helping us out, figuring it out. Like, honestly, I've been so overwhelmed with the, like, I love the body of Christ and I love to serve the body of Christ. I love to see the church changed and transformed and I love to do it together. Like, we're in this together. And so what I'm excited about is like I get to share something that's going to encourage you, but I've learned so much and I've only been here like a day. And so I just want to thank you before I jump in. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. Okay. So I want to talk about the Bible. I love the Bible. I love it, which is really funny because I'm dyslexic, and so when I read the Bible, it gets a little crazy. But I love it. And so I want to share just a little bit of my story, and then I want to give you some practical things that actually help me fall in love with God through the Word. Is that okay? Okay, so I'm a missionary kid, PK kid, you name it, I am, woohoo. I've slept on more airplanes than beds, probably. And so I started out in the house of prayer. Most of us know what the house of prayer is, yeah? Okay, cool. I just don't know who I'm talking to, so I want to make sure. So my parents are like the first staff members of the prayer room. And so I'm there, born in Budapest, Hungary. We did YWAM for 10 years. My parents did. I just came along. Born at the tail end of that, and then we moved to Kansas City. We, you know, worked on the house of prayer, fell in love with it. So I was always raised, love the Bible, learn the Bible, preach the Bible, be the Bible, blah, 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 blah. And then we moved to Brazil, and we just start the whole thing over again. Start a house of prayer, start a church, a Bible school, an internship, and then a donut company, because why not? We needed to emotionally help ourselves. So we got a little chubby and some donuts, but it was fine, it was fine, it was fine. So I had started this journey in Kansas City, and I actually went to this school called Bethel. It's a high school, and it started, you know, in a basement with no windows. We called it a bomb shelter. It was fantastic, but we were a little Christian school, and what we would do is every day we, as our, like, homework, we had to outline two chapters of the Bible, and so I started it. And I was in about like 10th grade when I first started. And so the whole goal was when, by the time you graduate, you have outlined the whole entire Bible and you will have a name for each chapter. And if someone says a random chapter, you can give them the name and the summary of it. So I was like, I got the first time, honestly, I had just come back from China, and I'm sitting down, and it's, you know, that hours are flipped. So it's like the middle of the night, in the middle of the day there. And they're like, okay, now it's Bible class. And I was like, Like, I was like, I just want to go to bed. And my mom's like, oh, it'll be great. It'll push you to, like, wake up and, like, stay awake. And I was like, no, I'm just going to hate everyone. So I sit there, and I start reading the Bible. I'm literally falling asleep. Like, it's, like, midnight for me, and I'm, like, trying to stay awake. And I just remember going, Holy Spirit, like, you better teach me something. Because, like, if not, I'm just going to fall asleep right now in class. And I just heard him so clearly, and it was like, no, this is really important. Like, you need to know the Bible. And I was like, oh, dang it. Okay. Okay, so I, you know, tried to wake up, got a little better after I switched back. So I started doing this, kept doing it, loved it, moved to Brazil. When we moved to Brazil, we know no one. So no one, except for a single mother and a daughter, and they're the only Americans that we know. We don't speak Portuguese. I can say hi, and I think something offensive. just we're all human, right? Yay! And so move there. I don't know how to do anything. Within a week, I'm thrown into a high school. They don't speak any English except for this one girl who's an atheist. And I'm like, oh, fun, great, wonderful. So we don't know anybody. We don't know how to order food. We don't know how to get gas. We don't know how to get groceries. We're trying to find a house. We're also trying to get cars. Like, we literally have nothing, know no one. We're all by ourselves, and family gets old real fast when it's just family all the time. So it's my parents, me, and then two younger siblings. Love them to death. Don't want to do this move again, but it's fine. So we're doing this, and my parents are like, hey, if you finish, we're going to, like, give you money. And I was like, hey, okay. Because by the time, you know, moved to Brazil, we're out of school. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give myself to really outlining all these chapters. So I literally have nothing to do. The internet's terrible. It was one night our family went to watch a Netflix movie. It's like an hour and a half movie. It took us 3 hours to watch the movie. And we were just so tired and just at that emotional state of, like, moving to another country, we didn't care. So we just sat there and just waited for it to load. So when I say we had a lot of time, I mean, like, we had a lot of time. So I got to the point where I was doing, like, 10 chapters a day, because all of a sudden it became my best friend. The Bible became my friend. The Bible became my foundation. The Bible became my everything. To the point where I come down and I'm like, Dad, did you know? And I'm like talking about Leviticus. Like, you have to go out and, like, cleanse yourself and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, great. And I'm like, no, this is so cool because this ties to this chapter and blah, blah, blah. And I started making connections. And all of a sudden, the Bible became not just a story about something else that happened to someone a long, long time ago when there wasn't really anything going on, but it became a reality that I could live today. It became a testimony of something that I could walk in and live and see in my day-to-day life. And so all of a sudden, I was like, I need more. I can't just stand by anymore and let people read the Bible and go, oh, that was nice, great. Think of the worship song and keep that stuck in my head at, you know, at Sunday lunch and then move on with my life. I was like, no, I actually need the Bible to live because the Bible is our daily bread. And I realized that before I actually was taking time to study the word, I was starving. I was so hungry. I literally was, like, sustaining from food without even knowing it. I was so weak because I didn't have the word in me. And so it became this new journey of, oh my gosh, like, Jesus, I love you. And my heart became tender and I was like, wow, like, God really is real. God really is real. The stories came alive to me. And the amazing thing is that the more I read it and the more I meditated on his word, the more I became like him. And the more I actually had a vision for my life. Instead of being a missionary kid and following my parents around all of my life, I was like, no, I actually know what I want to do now. I want to die. Woohoo. I want to die, and I want to get in front of Jesus in that judgment moment, and I want him to say, good job, well done, my faithful servant. And I don't get there without knowing this. I'm never going to get there without knowing this. And so the more that I study the word, the more that I read it, the more my heart became alive, the more Jesus actually became a real man instead of this story, this person, this amazing guy that once lived in history. He became my best friend through reading his word that was given to me. It became alive. It became something real. It wasn't just, oh, that's nice. Praise God. So if not, that was, oof, it'd be rough. So I literally, like, I gave my life to it. And then I started realizing, okay, so I finished the Bible. I did it all. And now I'm like, well, what do I do now? Like, what do I do? I don't really want to do it all again. Oh, I also translated it all. So I did it in English, started a website, put them all up there, and then I started doing it in Portuguese. So I was like, okay, now I got this. So I did it all, and then I was like, okay, now what do I do? Like, what do I do with this? I have all this knowledge. I read the Bible. I could tell you random things that, you know, just crazy random stuff. But I want it to be more inside of me. Like, it became addictive. And I was like, okay, so this guy named Kirk, back in the prayer room, he's awesome. He's so great. And he came up with this meditation kind of outline. It's read it, write it, sing it, say it, pray it. Okay? And I started taking some of those passages that I was confused by, had questions about, or that I had totally loved, and I started going through it. So I'd read it, say it aloud, read it. I'd write it down in my journal. Then I would sing it, which is always fun, because if you're doing that and someone walks by, they're like, what the? Sing it, I would say it out loud, and then I would take that the same verse, and I would pray it back to the Lord. I would say it back to him. And some of you are like, what the heck? Why are you saying his words back to you? Because as I say his words back to him, I'm worshiping him, I'm glorifying him, but I'm also getting transformed because the word is in me in that moment. And so I just want to encourage you from my little story. The Bible is essential to your walk with the Lord. Like, it's literally so important. It is the food for our daily lives. And so if you're not eating, you are going to die. I'm sorry, but it's reality. And if you're not drinking, you're going to get so thirsty. You're going to be in so much pain. You're going to cry and nothing's going to come out. You need to eat. You need to drink. Okay? And this is how we do it, is in his word. His word's given to us. And he goes, I just want you to read it. I just want you to know more. Because he's so passionate about you knowing him. And he gave it to you as a free gift. And he goes, hey, come and talk to me. And it's so intimidating because everyone's like, I don't know how to do this. So I want to break it down. This is honestly like one of my favorite things ever. I love it. So read it. Everyone say, read it.
Read it.
It's real simple, unless you have dyslexia like me. It's a little difficult. You just take a little passage. I love doing this with like Psalms 27:4. Of desiring to stay with him, stay in his house, to be with him all the days of my life. And you just take it and you read it out loud, real quick. And what I love is you can do this in groups with people. You can do it by yourself in your room. You can do it with your mother. You can do it with a homegirl that lives down the street. Doesn't matter who you do it with. I love homegirl. She's great. Take it, read it. Write it down. This is honestly, it's just a really practical, helpful thing. When I take it and I can write it down, and as I'm writing it down or as I'm doing the rest of the model and the Lord's speaking to me, I get to write it down underneath. Like the same thing when I was writing the notes for today. I wrote it this afternoon, and then earlier today I just kind of rewrote my notes, kind of combed it through, highlighted a couple of things, and it helps just like practically, just writing things down, it helps kind of keep in the brain. Anyone write notes on like sticky notes? Does your mom ever have sticky notes around the house to like remind you to do things? So it's just helpful. Okay, sing it. I love this so much. And I want to say one thing real fast. I do not care if you can sing a really good melody. I don't care if you are tone deaf. Okay, God made you. He loves your voice. If he didn't like your voice, he would have given you one. He loves your voice. You have a voice for a reason. And when you use your voice to declare truth in life, it actually shifts things in your heart, but it also gets to encourage your brother, and it changes the atmosphere when you speak life. So use your voice. So it says in Colossians 3:16, let the words of Christ dwell in you through singing the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it actually goes on and say, we are commanded to do this. It says, no, you have to. Like, it's not like you can't negotiate with God here. He's like, no, sing songs. Sing the spiritual hymns because it encourages your heart, but also the souls of your brothers. Sing them, declare them. And the really fun thing is that you're going to go home tonight, fall asleep eventually. You're not really going to remember a lot that I said. Pray that you do some. But you're really going to remember worship songs. They're going to get stuck in your head for a week. They really are. So when I'm in the prayer room, and we do this, we take, that's literally all the prayer room's about. We take the Bible, pray the Bible, sing the Bible, woo. So you take the Bible 24/7. It's fantastic. I love it, though. I really do. Take the Bible, and we sing it, and then we create choruses. A chorus is a little phrase you just repeat over and over again, right? And so we take passages. We're singing scripture. And you know what happens? You leave, go grab some Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. Or some teriyaki. I'm really excited for teriyaki here. Get some teriyaki. You're going to be singing these songs over and over and over and over and over again. Like, they're getting stuck in your head. And the cool thing is that the living word, this is the living word, transforms your heart, your mind, your soul, the atmosphere. It gives testimony and life to where you are in that moment, to your situation, to the people around you. So why would we not? Honestly, why would we not do this? Why would we not sing the scriptures and declare them? Over our own emotions, over our friends and our family, over the homeless man on the corner, over businesses, over situations. Like, why not? Why not? And I remember I just did this like a intense like inner healing course. And it was intense. And we have small groups and we pray over people. And in my small group, I got this just really simple chorus for this girl. And I just began to sing it over and over again. Just, when you're falling, that's when I catch you. And I just began to sing it over and over and over again. And it's from scripture. And as I started singing it, it was like scales were just falling off of her. Because I'm singing truth. Not just how I feel in the moment in my immature human emotions. But I'm singing life. I'm singing the living word. Sorry, it's my favorite, so I like to spend lots of time on it. Say it, okay? This goes along, basically the same things as singing is saying it. But it's, in Proverbs 18:21, it's the passage of your tongue can either bring life or death, right? Again, same thing. Choose to speak life. Choose to speak the living word. Like the same... The same God that made you, that made the heavens and the earth, the whole Genesis thing, that same God, these are his words. So why would we not want to declare them and speak them and say them out loud to the atmosphere? Say them to our own hearts. Literally, my favorite thing is to wake up in the morning and say, God, I give you this day. And then I declare scripture. I say over myself because I'm a human. I got issues. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. My family's in another country. I'm getting married. I'm dealing with foster care children and a youth group. I'm in school. Got no money. Like, I'm zip tying my bumper. I am a great mechanic with zip ties. If you ever need one, I got you. Been up in the under that car way too many times. But that is the most powerful thing that I can do. This is what I lean on in the moments where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I get to declare that to the Lord. Pray it. This is like, oh, so good. Take it. Hold on. Moment of honesty. Has anyone gone to pray and you just have no words? Yeah. Literally nothing. You're like, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. Or you go through your prayer list. You're like, okay, I'm going to pray for 20 minutes. Go through your prayer list in 5 seconds. And you're like, okay, this is awkward, Holy Spirit. What do I do now? I told you I'd give you 20 minutes. I only made it 5 seconds. Here's a cheat sheet. The Bible. Take it. Like, literally, this gives me so much language to my day. So much language. Like, now I can actually sit and talk about the Lord because I've prayed through the scriptures. Like, I went through, when I went through and outlined all the chapters, I had to pray a verse or a phrase or something from every chapter. And literally, the more that I've prayed it, the more that my heart has been transformed. Because again, it's our life. It's our food. We need it. It transforms who we are. And so when we take it and pray it, it literally, it renews our mind. It renews our soul. It gives us strength. We are renewed by what we're praying. And again, why would we want, I'm so sorry. I'm so tired. Why would we not want to pray his words? Like, I'm a little prideful. Fun fact, I'm a human being. But there's been so many times that I'm like, oh man, I know exactly what to pray and I'm going to be awesome. And so I'm, you know, like, I'm the leader kid. I've been in like our children's like equipping center ever since I was like 5. I was like preaching all the time and praying and rapid fire prayers. And I get up there and yell and, wow, you're so amazing, Sydney. I go up there and I pray out of my own flesh. I pray because I'm like, well, I got this. I know everything. I'm great. Literally, my prayers are duds. They're just being... And I'm not saying God doesn't hear. Praise, thank you, Jesus. He hears our prayers even in our dumb moments. But the moments where I was like, no, Lord, like, I actually want to, I want to pray your words. Because I don't matter. I don't matter. God, you made me so that I can worship you and behold you and declare your beauty. I don't matter. This is why I exist. This is why you exist, to worship him and to glorify him, to be a friend. God doesn't need anything, but he made us. He desired us, and he wants to commune with us. So why wouldn't we do it through his word, through who he is, what we tangibly can have right now, like physically hold. So praying it has just come so real. I remember one time I'm in Brazil, and I'm hurting really bad. There were some people that came up to my parents in a staff meeting, all places. This guy stands up and he just starts yelling at my dad. You're terrible. You're such a hypocrite. You call us to pray. You're not even a believer. And honestly, like, what he's saying is just, it's not logical. Like, I'm like, okay. But he just attacks my dad, just goes for it. And I'm sitting here, and it's so hard for me because I'm like, my family, we literally gave up everything. We gave up our community that we've had all our lives. We gave up our cars. We gave up our awesome home we got to design. We gave up our, like, lifelong friends. We gave up English. We gave up food. We gave up education. We gave up everything. And you're telling my dad, go back to the States because he's worthless here? Like, I was like, are you, I was ready. I was like, okay, like, I've been taking jujitsu. Like, let's go. Like, yeah, bye-bye. Like, that's rude. You don't get to do that. And my dad turns around and he goes, no, we're going to bless him. And I was like, that's really funny. And he's like, no, we're going to bless him. And I was like, what? He goes, no, like, the word has taught me we're going to turn and bless our enemies. Yes. We're going to bless him. Yes. And he turns around and he prays for him. I mean, he went on to write tons of articles about how my dad is a cult and everything we're doing that is biblical, mind you, is terrible and we're brainwashing people and all that fun stuff. You know, because totally we're doing that. And my dad turns around and he goes, no, we're gonna bless him and we're gonna pray for him. Do you think that him in his own flesh would be able to do that? No. I mean, I was ready to like sock the guy in the face. But I'm kind of a violent person. But the Lord encountered my dad's heart through the word, through the testimonies, through these beautiful, real stories. He had something to lean on. This is his foundation. So in the moment when someone's attacking him, I mean like blatantly in front of 40 other people, and then goes on to take it elsewhere, he turns around and he goes, no, we're going to bless him. And so I looked at my dad and I was like, okay, like, I have to, I gotta do what you're doing, which is the read it, write it, sing it, say it, pray it. And the amazing thing is I did it in Brazil, and now I do it in Kansas City, and it's addicting, and I do it with people or I do it by myself. And I want to encourage you too. Okay, I went to 11 different schools before IHOPU. Okay, so my education doesn't really exist. I missed a whole lot of things. I mean, I found out I was dyslexic when I was 20, okay? This is how like sad my teachers were. Love them. Sad. I miss things. You ask me a math question, I'm like, I don't know. Geography, I just start sweating. So I've always faced a challenge of like, I'm not smart enough, I'm not intelligent enough, I don't know how to communicate, I can't do this, I can't do that. Disqualifying myself because of just the crazy life that I've lived. That's been awesome, but it's been hard. So I look at the Bible and I used to get intimidated. I used to think, I'm not smart enough to know God. I'm not smart enough to learn. I'm not smart enough to do this. Well, you know what? If a homegirl like me that doesn't know how to read, that can't do like basic math, can't get the 10% off the, you know, the clothing I want and try and figure that out, like literally, like, nah, it's bad, okay? I'm like considering to go to college. I'm like, oh, Jesus, like help me out here. Like, if I can do it, you can do it, okay? I'm no different than you. I'm not like super holy or awesome. I have issues. I'm about to get married and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, JL, honey, I'm so sorry. I love you, but like you're barren, a crazy human. And he's like, yeah, it's okay. You know, we all are. But literally like, there's nothing great about me. I'm a normal human. I get mad. I get really mad sometimes. I get really, really sad sometimes. Jeff's story, I totally understand. I've lived Jeff's story out. I've seen the dead man raised. I've prayed for people. I've da-da-da-da. I've ended up in depression and wondering even if God is real. But I can hear, I'm here to tell you today, what's kept me sound, what's kept me safe is the foundation of the living word, is the foundation of I'm going back to something that actually sustains me. So when the world around me falls apart, when I'm left alone, when I'm called an idiot and I'm ridiculed, when I'm physically ill and can't get out of bed, what feeds my soul is the living word of God that brought you into existence, brought you into existence, brought you into existence, brought you into existence, and he's going, I do not want you to live desperate anymore. I want to fill you. I want to give you something that's going to keep you alive. So on the days when you're getting tested, on the days of tribulation, and you're going, why am I living? What is life for? You have a foundation that will never change, that will never fall, that is faithful every moment of your life and in every situation. This word has an answer for everything that you will ever ask. And it's true always. The Bible doesn't lie. Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the words of our God will stand forever. I want to give you an eternal perspective. What you do now is going to affect your life when you die, when you go to heaven. When I die, I talked a lot about death, it's fine. When I die, I want to be real close up to Jesus. I want to be with him where he is. I want to be real close to him. And I do that by getting close to him now. I am unwilling to say that my incapability to read or my incapability of 2 + 2 = 4, I look in the concordance still and I'm in third year in Bible school. That's fine. My incapabilities are not going to get in the way of me being close to God. of me being alive, because I refuse to go back to depression. I refuse to go back to dying. I refuse to go back to life is terrible and I have no hope. No, I put my trust in him. I put my life in the living word and I choose to lean on that. I have like 20 verses and so I'm like, which one do I want to read? Yeah, here we go. All right, Hebrews 4. I love this. For the word of God is living and active. And it's not just for that moment when he is walking on the dirt road. His words are eternal. His attributes are eternal. God is eternal. We're one day going to get really awesome bodies and then we'll be eternal. I want to fly, I'm just saying. And eat as much hamburgers and not get fat. Okay, so active and eternal. Sharper than a two-edged sword. There is nothing more intense, more driving than his word. It pierces the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow. Did I say that right? Thank you. Praise God. And discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Let me talk about the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Whoo, they're real close and tight. But the word pierces through it. The word pierces through that confusion and that anger and that frustration. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction. That through the endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. This is my hope. I don't put my hope in my dad. I don't put my hope in my really hot future husband. He a snack. Someone let her know I said it, you know, it's brownie points. Woo, shout out, baby, yeah. This is my hope. I don't put my hope in money because it's all going to fade away. It's all going to fade away. Talks about that in Philippians. What I do now, physical things, it's going to fade away. It's going to be gone. But what I sow in my heart, what I sow in my heart will last for eternity, will go on with me past the grave. That is what I'm living for. That is what I'm wanting. So I want to do a little bit of an altar call. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay, cool. Can someone lift this? Thanks. Wait, can you do it with your knee? Yeah, what a strong man. Okay, what I want to do is I want to pray for a couple of things because a lot of time there's a little bit of fear related to studying the word. Again, I want to remind you, I'm human, I did it, okay? I'm still doing it. I haven't mastered the Bible. I'm not planning on mastering it because the moment I think I mastered the Bible is the moment that I've fallen in pride. God is eternal. That means every attribute is eternal. You could literally start studying about God's love through the Bible. You're still going to be learning something new every moment, every second in eternity. So I want to pray for those that feel dumb. We're going to make it real simple. If you have fear or you feel dumb or incapable of learning and making the scriptures your foundation in your life, I want you to come on this side, right up here, okay? Oh, sorry. And I want those of you that are listening and you're like, wow, that sounds really nice. I'm not super scared of it, but I don't have that fascination yet. You don't have that hunger yet. I want you to come on this side. So if you're like, I want to actually hunger for it. I want to get to that point of desperation that I need God more than anything, and I need the scriptures to impact my life and become that foundation. Come on this side. Okay. Now, I want to encourage everyone, not just the Bethel students, not just IHOP. You are all the ministry team now, okay? So this is how we do it. Put your hand on their head, shoulders, elbows, hands. And we're going to pray for freedom for those that fear fear. Because listen, when you fear something, you're giving power to that. And we're not going to give power to feeling dumb anymore. Because that's ridiculous. God made you fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139. He knows you. He's proud of you. He sees you, and he wants to invest in you. He knows your story, and he gave the word to every man. He gave the word to the Einsteins of the world and the people like me, okay? There's no difference. God gave the word to every single person. So we're going to pray for breakthrough. Oh, hey, guys. Okay. And for this hour, we're going to pray for that increase of hunger. Because sometimes we get a little tired and a little bit comfortable. I'm sorry, but God isn't always that comfortable. But that's a beautiful thing, because in the moments of, what am I doing? You grow. So in the moments when I'm sitting in Brazil weeping, going, God, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I pray the scriptures, my life all of a sudden makes sense and I feel peace. Okay, so let's do this. Can we maybe make some lines, because we want to, I'm so sorry. We want to be able to reach you and pray for y'all. Does that sound good? So can I have can someone kind of help us, guide us a little bit? There we go. Okay. And so then IHOP, y'all know what to do. Love you guys. Bethel, I'm sure you guys know what to do. You got this. You've been learning for a while. And then all of y'all in the crowd, I just want you guys to feel empowered to go pray. Again, we are the body of Christ. There's not some holier person. There's no such thing as miniature Holy Spirit. He's in us. He breathes. He works through us. And he wants to use you tonight. So could we, you want to hop on the keys? Yeah, perfect. Oh, look at you, Brandon. Okay. Okay. So I'm just going to pray. We're going to play a little bit of music and kind of see what the Lord does. Does that sound good? Okay. Holy Spirit, come. So for those of you that are receiving prayer, I just want you to put your hands out like you're receiving a gift. Just put your hands out. And this sounds kind of weird, but I want you to go to your happy place, okay? So you can go to the throne room, which is absolutely marvelous. It's beautiful. You can picture Jesus on his throne, the angels crying, holy, holy, holy. You could go sit in an ice cream parlor. I just want you to find that happy place and sit there. I just want you to let the Spirit come and encounter you, the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you. So you're not worried about what you look like right now. You're not worried about the snot running down your face. You're not worried about physical things going around. I want you to actually be able to receive what God has to do for you tonight. So your job is to stand here and just put your heart in a receiving mode. Lord, I just ask that you come to those that feel incapable, that feel dumb or illegitimate. God, I ask that you would come with your truth right now, that you would come and break that mindset off. Lord, that you would give them the mind of Christ, that you would fill them with your presence, Lord. Come with your truth. Come and wash them with the words of life. God, I thank you that you know them, that you're jealous for them. Lord, and this is a part of their story, is to encounter you. This is a part of their story, is to read your word and let their hearts come alive. Father, come and mark them tonight. Let them be transformed by the words of the living God that have been recorded just for them. Father, let them feel your presence and know your love when they read the Bible. Give them that fresh revelation, that fresh understanding, the wisdom and understanding of your word, that it would overcome them. Lord, that it would be so intense they don't know what to do. Lord, break off those lies that says they're dumb and incapable right now. Lord, we come as a family. We cover them today. Jesus, I ask that you would come to those that are desiring to be hungry, that are wanting to be hungry. Lord, I ask that you would come and give them that gift of hunger. Come and give them that gift of hunger. Lord, open up their eyes, Lord, to see the necessary need for them to lean on your word, to run after you, Jesus. Lord, to help them to get lost in your word, to write words and thousands of pages, Lord, just on one scripture. Father, come and romance their heart. Come and romance their heart, Lord.
I love the beautiful heart, beautiful mind of yours. I love the way you think. I love the way you feel. I love that beautiful heart, that beautiful mind of yours. You are the kindest one I know. Gracious, and your anger is slow.
He loves you.
You are.
He enjoys you. Why wouldn't he give you his precious words? Some of you are doubting that because of your story and your past, that you can't actually receive the revelation of his word fully. I just want you to know that is not true. That's not even close to being true. David was encountered by the word, and he was a rough man. There's no one too dark. There's no one too broken to be able to encounter the word.
I love the way you feel, and I love that beautiful heart, that beautiful mind of yours. You are the kindest one I know, gracious, and your anger is slow. You are kindest one I know, gracious, and your anger is slow. And I love the way you think, I love the way you feel. I love that beautiful heart, that beautiful mind of yours. And I love the way you think, I love the way you feel. I love that beautiful heart, that beautiful mind of yours. I love the way you think. I love the way you feel. And I love that beautiful heart. There's only one word comes to mind. There's only one word to describe. Only one word comes to mind. There's only one word to describe.
I just feel like the Lord, like, just the phrase over and over again, like, you are so precious to me. Why wouldn't I give you my words? You're so precious to me. Why would I not give you my words? I feel like there's almost this shame attached to some of our stories. And we feel like we're incapable, that we don't deserve his word. We don't deserve salvation. But yet here you are, loving Jesus. This is no different. Allow him to give you the gift of his word. Allow him to give you the gift of his word. A fresh revelation. God, release that. A fresh revelation of your word. A new understanding, God. Come and romance their heart, Lord. Come and romance their heart. Let them get lost in your word for hours and hours and hours. Lord, help them to get the time in before work, before school, before the family meeting. God, help them to get lost in your word, to give them the practical tools, Jesus. Come and fill them tonight, Father.
I love the way you think. I love the way you feel. I love that beautiful heart, that beautiful mind of yours. And I love the way
Yes, I praise you, 'cause I'm made in your image.
You made me beautiful, God.
You made me beautiful.
You call me beautiful. Your word wash over my heart once again.
Feet, and it's lovely.
You delight in me. Your delight is in me.
Your delight is in me. You're not ashamed of me, 'cause you said that I am loved. 'Cause you said I'm fearfully, wonderfully made.
Been made in the image of the beautiful God.
The beautiful God.
I've been made in His likeness.
I've been made in His glory.
Beautiful.
Elegant, lovely. For your thoughts outnumber the grains of sand on the sea towards me.
Come transform my heart by your beauty. I want to gaze upon your beauty, God.
So help me to gaze, help me to see.
Most beautiful God, I want to gaze upon you, God.
So help me to gaze, help me to see the beauty in your word and your beauty in me. Help me to gaze, help me to see the beauty in your word and the beauty in me. Help me to gaze, help me to see the beauty in your word and the beauty in me. Help me to gaze, help me to see the beauty of your word and the beauty in me. Help me to gaze, help me to see the beauty in your word and your beauty in me. Help me to gaze, help me to see the beauty in your word and your beauty in me. Help me to gaze, help me to see the beauty in your word and your beauty in me. Help me to gaze, help me to see the beauty in your word, your beauty in me. The beauty in your word, the beauty in me. Beauty in your word, the beauty in me. The beauty in your word, your beauty in me. Tells me, oh, that I was made for love, to love others, but to be loved by you, to love others, but to be loved by you.
I was made for love, I was made for loving. You, I was made for love.
You said it in your words.
I was made for love.
You promised my soul.
I was made for loving you.
And I was made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you. Made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you.
We love you, most beautiful God.
Oh, and I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. I choose you, God. I choose you, God. I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. It's I choose you, God. I choose you, God. I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. I choose you, God. I choose you, God. I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe your word. Yes, I choose you, God.
I was made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you. I was made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you. Yeah, yeah. I was made for love. I was made for love.
I was made for
loving you. Yeah. I was made for love. I was made for love.
I was
made for loving you.
Just like you chose me before the cross, still you choose me today. Like you chose me before the cross, still you choose me today. Like you chose me before the cross, still you choose me today. like you chose me before the cross. Still you choose me today, like you chose me right at the cross. Still you choose me today, like you chose me right at the cross. Still you choose me today, chose me right at the cross. Still you chose me today, like you chose me right at the cross. The same passion that you had right before your body was broken, it's the same passionate love that searches me out every day. To save love, to save love. Nothing has changed, nothing has changed in your heart. Nothing has changed, nothing has changed in your heart. And I may be broken, but your love has found me. And I may be broken, but your love has found me. I may be broken, but your love has found me. Oh, I may be broken, but your love has found me. Oh, I may be broken, but your love has found me. Yes, I may be broken, but your love has found me. Chasing me down. Cause on the day that I was taught to mourn, you said, daughter, don't you cry, you're not alone. It's on the day that I was taught to mourn by the world, you said, daughter, don't you cry, you're not alone. Son, don't you cry, you're not alone.
So, Lord, I just thank you for what you've done tonight. God, I thank you for the power of your word, that it's living in us. Father, that it saves us. Lord, I ask that you would seal what you've done, but you would help us to continue this all the days of our lives. Lord, to be fascinated, to grow hungrier and hungrier for you. God, mark us with your word. Thank you for this gift in Jesus' name.
Super quick, just a reminder, the BSSM students will be here tomorrow morning at Evangel. BSSM students will be here at Evangel tomorrow morning. The IHOP University students will be at several churches in the community. They'll be at Abundant Life in Kelso. They'll be at Renewal City Church over on Commerce. Is it Commerce? Commerce, over on Commerce in Florida, and they'll also be at Father's House just a couple blocks up the road. So if you're looking for some more of this, if you're looking for some more with Jenna and the BSSM students, be here tomorrow morning.
What time does service start here? 10?
Be here a little bit before 10. Just jump back in. Get some more of what God's doing. But those other congregations as well, you're going to hear fabulous teaching like this. Sydney, where are you? Where are you going to be tomorrow morning? Sydney will be at Renewal. Yarrow will be at Abundant Life. Where? Huh? Abundant Life. And what's happening? Jacob? Where's Jacob? Oh, Jacob. We'll be at Father's house. So worship, teaching, all of it. Go find one of these wellsprings and just drink some more. Get some more of God.
I know how much you guys love to know what's going to happen next. And so I just want to give you an idea of where this whole thing is going. Because it's going somewhere. So everybody listen really close. This is where we're going as a city. This is where we're going. This is where this whole thing is going. First of all, you need to spend time with God. All the time. More than just once a day. All the time. Spend time with God. Listen to what he says. It's really important that you listen to his voice. And then do it really quick and really thoroughly. And don't ask anybody's permission to do what he says. Just start doing what he says to do. And this city will change. We don't need another meeting. We don't need another unity gathering. Just start doing what he's saying. You have enough courage and strength to do this. Just do it. You guys, just do it. Just start doing what he's saying. Just do it. And we'll change the city. Amen? So go home.